Well, good morning. We are going to be in the book of 1 John today. Excuse me. And we're going to be in chapter 3. My wife, who's teaching children's church, asked me if this was going to be long today. And I said, I have no idea. I just preach, and then when I'm done, I'm done. And so I don't expect it to be any longer than normal. But nevertheless, here we are. So today we are picking up in chapter 3, verse 4. And verse 4 is going to take us into what it means to be someone who lives in sin and someone who has had a past where they were sinners. And so we want to make a distinction there because John is going to make some pretty profound and hard-hitting statements in this chapter. It is important that you understand that this section is connected to what was before it. And so John has talked about what it means to live a Christian life and that we should remain in him. And what remaining in him means is knowing him, walking in the light, which is following the Spirit, and all those different aspects of knowing his word and doing what we should do. Now today, we're going to get into what it means to be someone who was a sinner, someone who is a sinner, and what are the distinctions, because again, John is making some pretty profound statements. So let me read for you. We'll be in chapter 3. We'll start in verse 4, and we're going to move in through until we get to verse 10. John makes these statements. He says, everyone who commits sin is also, sin also breaks the law. Sin is breaking the law. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God has revealed for this purpose to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident. About 500 years ago, maybe a little over, couple of years over 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg. And since then, this Protestant Reformation began. And one of the main mantras of the Protestant Reformation is that we are saved by faith alone. And I agree with that. I believe that Scripture tells us over and over again that we are saved by faith. Paul says it's not of ourselves. It's not by our works so that no one can boast and say, you know what? I did it myself. And so we repeat that mantra and we repeat that verse, we are saved by faith alone. And while that is true, I believe that in that truth, we have begun and we have negated and we have turned our back on the fact that even though we are saved by faith, the way you live matters. We have all come in contact and maybe even you've said this yourself, that you know what? I'm just going to sin and God will forgive me anyway. You know, once I get saved or once I'm born again, it doesn't matter what happens after that. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I do with my time. It doesn't matter what I do with my money. It doesn't matter what I do with my life. Because you know what? I'm saved by faith alone. And I believe if men like John and men like Paul and men like James were here today, they would have a lot to tell us. And that while it's true that we are saved by faith, that it is not what we do that gives us any kind of good standing with God. They would scoff at the fact that we think oftentimes that, you know what, the way I live doesn't matter. The way I treat people doesn't matter. The way I do business doesn't matter because I'm saved. And it's by faith alone. They would scoff at that, and they would have a lot to tell us that please don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to live like that. Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to follow God's command. Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to read His word and abide by it. And we have magnified saved by faith alone to the detriment of not living a life that glorifies God. In the end part of chapter 2, going into chapter 3, John tells us to purify ourselves, to live a life that brings God honor. Paul says it, live in a way that they see the way you live and they give glory to God. James says it like this, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So all of these men who heard Jesus, Paul meets him on the road to Damascus. All of these men who write scripture for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit tell us that the way you live, the things you do matter. So this idea of I'm saved and whatever I do doesn't matter, there's forgiveness there, is hogwash. On one side of the coin, there is forgiveness there, but it does matter the way we live. And so John wants to deal with that today. And so we're going to look at two different aspects of this text. I want to read for you again the first part. We'll talk about that, and then we'll jump into the second part. Again, in verse 4 through 6, he says, everyone who commits sin also breaks the law. Sin is the breaking of the law. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him. He's talking about Jesus. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. The first thing I want us to see today is that we have a life controlled by Christ. Our life should be controlled by Christ. He says, verse 4, everyone who commits sin also breaks the law. Simply put, sin is breaking God's commands. Sin is breaking God's law. And so he wants us to understand that sin is a real and important aspect of our life. That sin has the ability to just encompass us and enslave us. And then it goes on to say that Jesus came to defeat sin, and if we sin, we don't know him. And so that's going to create some issues here. What does he mean by sinner? What does he mean by someone who commits sin? Now, we need to make a very important distinction here. See, because John has previously said that anyone who says that they have not sinned is a liar. But then he comes here and he says those who have committed sin don't know him. So how do we reconcile these two? It's important we go back to the tense of what these words are coming from. Again, English lesson, but it's really important. This is a present tense verb. That means that you could translate it as saying continually. John says the one who continually sins, the one who is a sinner who continually goes on sinning, does not know him. And so he's making a very important distinction. He's not saying that if you've ever sinned or that you've been born again and that you've come to know him and that you've given him your life, that you will never sin again. There are some who would teach that, that once you're quote-unquote saved, you will never sin again. And that's just wrong. We continue to struggle. Paul says we struggle against the flesh. And this is a word that he uses to talk about our sin nature. That even though we have been made right with God through Christ, we continue to struggle with this sin nature. That once you're saved, it doesn't mean your sinful passions don't continue to come up. Temptation doesn't grab you. The question is, what do you do with that? Do you give in or do you live by the Spirit? So John says, you've got people who are sinners continually walking in sin. This is people who have never given their life to Christ, who have never submitted themselves to him. And then you've got people who know him, who from time to time may sin. And if you are not troubled by your sin, if you're not troubled by the fact that you are breaking Christ's law, then you may be in category one, which is someone who doesn't know him at all. I don't know where you are today. I know many people have made professions of faith where they say, I believe in Christ and I want to give him my life. Yet we go on sinning habitually and not caring about it. We treat people not in ways that are honoring to God. And then there are some people, hopefully most of you, who have given your life to Christ. And when you sin, it brings heartache. When you don't do what God has called you to do, it troubles you. So John is making a distinction here. Those who go on habitually living a life of sin that doesn't matter to them, they don't care about it, they practice unrighteousness, they are these people that John speaks of. And then there's these other people who try to live a life that is righteous. Chapter 2, verse 29 says that the one who practices righteous purifies themselves. So there's this continual understanding of what sin is, asking for forgiveness, and running from it. There's not this habitual lifestyle of living in sin. And he says, those who are sinners, you need to recognize that you are the reason Jesus came. He came because there was no sin in him. He came and he lived the perfect life. He gave his life. He died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he offers you new life because he overcame death and the grave. Christ is the only one who could have ever done that. And it's through his Spirit that we are made right with God, positionally, and it's through his Spirit that we are able to live out life for God. But we have this struggle. We have this lifelong struggle with overcoming sin, overcoming the flesh. We are not to be continually, habitually living in sin. And it's only by remaining in Christ, abiding in Christ, that we can do that. Live our life knowing his word, living in the light, staying away from false teachers, loving your brother and your sister, obeying God's commands. These are how we remain in him. When you remain in him, you're able to live a life that's not habitually in these sins. It's not your habit. It's not your lifestyle. But the opposite is also true. If you neglect walking in with him and remaining in him, you can expect sin to overrun you. You can expect sin to plague your life. You can expect sin to be a habit that you continually to do. And so this person here in verse 6, this sinner who doesn't know Christ, is someone who is the sinner, who continually, habitually lives in sin and cares not about what Christ has done. And we need to have a life that's controlled by Christ. But John also digs deeper into those who continue to practice sin. Let's look at what he says in the rest of the verses. Starting in verse 7, again, he's talking to his church. He says, "Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." So if you live a life that is proper, your actions matter, you live righteously because God is righteous. And then he goes on to contrast that with the one who commits sin is of the devil. Again, committing, habitually living in a life of sin is of the devil. "For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works," or destroy the devil's works. "Everyone who has been born of God does not sin because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children are made evident." So John is going to show us and contrast a life that's controlled by Christ with a life that is controlled by sin. He's getting to his point, and he's driving it home. He's saying, "My children, I love you. I care about you. Church members, my disciples, listen to me. You can have a life that is controlled by Christ, or you can have a life that is controlled by the devil." And again, he calls them his children. He loves them. Watch out for false teachers. Watch out for these counterfeits. Watch out for these people who have come and gone from our church. Be careful about them. And he says, these teachers, they tried to teach the church that being righteous, living a life in Christ, is of no consequence. It doesn't matter how you live. Your actions are not connected to the condition of your soul, they may say. In other words, the way you live, what you say, what you do, does not take away or add to your salvation. And while I would agree that it does not take away or add to your salvation, what they're saying is the way you live doesn't matter. And John is screaming from the mountaintops, that's false teaching. The way you live, the way you treat people, the way you run your life matters. Because people who live in unrighteousness, they are children of the devil. A child of the devil. That's harsh. You live unrighteously, your father's the devil. And he says, Jesus came so that we would take this away. He could take it away and we can live righteously and be a child of God. So again, for John, what he's saying is doing is the best way or the best test of being. Doing is the best test of being. What do I mean by that? Living out your life, doing what God has commanded us to do, is the best test of being someone who's a Christian. The best test of demonstrating that you are God's child is to live that life. Now again, we don't live that life so we become God's child. We live that life because we are God's child. There's a very, very important difference and distinction there. That you cannot earn your salvation. You cannot live good enough. You cannot live righteous enough in your own eyes so that God will just say, you know what? No big deal. He's good enough. She's good enough. You can't give enough. You can't be nice enough to overcome your sin. But he says that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to overcome the work of the devil. Jesus came to overcome sin and death and the grave and to give you life. And it is by Christ that you're able to live the life he's called you to live. Because I promise you, you cannot live righteously on your own. You must be in him. You must remain in him. You must abide in him. You must walk with him. And again, guys like James say, work. Faith without work is dead. You can't say you have faith and not live it out. You can't proclaim to be a Christian and not live like one, not obey the commands of God. We've got so many groups and splinter cells and people who say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I'll take that name and refuse to live a life based on Christ's principles. Jesus himself says, a good tree does not produce bad fruit. Whatever you are is what you produce. If you are a child of God, you will produce child of God fruit. If you are a child of the devil, you will produce child of the devil fruit. What kind of tree you are is the kind of fruit you produce. And he'll go on to say this, a man speaks from his heart. So whatever's inside of you is what comes out of you. You can't proclaim to be a Christian. You can't proclaim to be right with Christ. And everything you say and do is contrary to that. The way you live matters. Then he goes on again to say, a person who is born of Christ does not commit sin. So we reconcile these again by understanding what he said. And the tense of the words he's using. Words matter. If you go on continually living in sin, you are not connected to God. And in verse 9, John uses the present tense again. Anyone who continues to sin, anyone who's a sinner is not in him. Sinner, someone who's apart from Christ. And even though if you are in Christ, you may commit a sin, you are not continually, habitually living that out. So John has given us this contrast. The one who lives in continual sin, and the one who's in Christ and may sin. And the way that we overcome sin is by having the Spirit within us. He calls it the seed. So my question for you today is, what is your life proclaiming to those around you? Do you continually, habitually live in sin? Have no care about it. You're not troubled by it. You're not worried by it. You do what you want to do. Or are you troubled when you sin? And John gives this test. We may feel like it's a throwaway line, but at the end of it is how do you treat the brothers and sisters? How do you treat the people that you should love easily? Do you give them your all? Do you stay with them? Do you work with them? Do you encourage them? Do you rebuke their sin? Or do you treat people's brothers and sisters badly? You don't want to do life with them. You walk away. You're harsh. You're mean. And John has given us this contrast here. Are you a child of God who has the Spirit in him, being purified and having righteousness? Or are you what we would never want to admit, a child of the devil, who sins continually without care at all? And I can't answer that question for you. I can't define for you which one you are. Because you know what? We can fake things from time to time. We've all known people who were fakers, who we thought were children of God. And then we look back at their life, and for some way, somehow, they've left God all alone. They've walked away from God. They've walked away from a life with Christ. But know this, at some point in our life, we were all sinners. We were all in the group that is children of the devil. And it is true that at some point in our life, we will all sin. But here's the deal. Those people who are lost, those people who are children of the devil, they don't want to admit that. They resist the inner conviction, and they have little remorse. They are in persistent rebellion against God. And we were all there. Never forget that. You were once an enemy of God. But know this, God loves you, and God loves sinners. In John chapter 3, verse 16, he says that God loves the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. God loves sinners. Paul writes, he says that while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. So there's good news for you. If you're willing to admit that you are a sinner and that you are in need of Christ, he loves you enough to save you and to change that for you. But here's the deal. The devil confuses sinners. He wants them to remain lost. He wants them to not have a relationship with God. And so some folks will say, you know what, I've got a good conduct. I live good enough. I'm a good old boy. I'm a good old girl. Maybe I'm a member of a church or my parents were really good Christians. Maybe you walked down the aisle or maybe you were even baptized. But none of that has changed the fact that you are continually walking in sin and caring nothing about it. That you are still a child of the devil. That's why works doesn't matter. Works doesn't add to your salvation. But your works show your salvation. And here's my last point I want to give you. That we were all sinners. God loves sinners. The devil still wants to confuse sinners. But it is our responsibility. Not just something that we should do. You are responsible to help lost sinners find Christ. It means you've got to tell them the gospel. You've got to help them understand that they are lost. So many times we want acceptance. We just want to be in the group that we refuse to give the truth. And that we will let people go to hell so that we get invited to their house or to be in their group just as long as we don't offend them. But we never tell them the truth about Jesus. It's your responsibility, if you are a child of God, to live righteously and to share your faith. John is very poignant sometimes even harsh. And I don't know where you are. We all want to say we're a child of God. But if we really look at our life and the way we act and the things we do, the way we daily live, are you really a child of God? Do you live out righteousness? Or are you really a child of the devil? And today you could change that. Will you come to him? They'll play. You respond to God. I'd love to talk to you. If you want to pray at the altar, it is available. But if you're troubled by your sin, habitual life, continually living in sin and not caring about it, you are a child of the devil. And I know that sounds harsh, but that's not me. That's John. That's God telling you that in his word. Will you come to him today? Will you stand and respond to God?